What's up, Kraken Aces listeners? You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered. With great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered. With great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
God, so I bought this new laptop like 3 weeks ago. This thing comes with Norton antivirus. Does anybody have that?
Would you buy it from 1997?
It's the most obnoxious program in the world. I can't get rid of it. It pops up. It has a pop-up for everything.
You're going to have to do some research how to get rid of it, because that's not even like a product anymore.
You should track down John McAfee.
Are you a believer, Smitty?
In what, McAfee? And he is his batshit.
I mean,
conspiracies?
He's still alive.
Is he?
I don't know. I couldn't get through the documentary. He was just a little too erratic for me.
According to the I don't know.
Fake dead. Yeah.
It just popped up again.
Yeah, the government's tracking you.
I just hit remind me in 24 hours, but then they have like little pop ups about my weak password on my Wi-Fi.
Good luck, bro. I would not use that laptop. A lot of talk about today, huh? Smitty won Pennsylvania Coop.
Don't bury the lead.
A lot of drama. A lot of heads up challenges. Berkey and Doug and this and that. Just as Jake did a thing or something.
That's all we're gonna have time for.
Yeah. We have a strict out after all those topics are done.
Yeah.
Oh, can we start out with the biggest news?
What's that?
Congrats to Sean Deeb, our guy.
You know what?
Winning his first ever circuit ring. That was cut off the yo.
He's born and bred in Turning Stone, and then he wins the Turning Stone main. What's better than that? No, I'm happy for him.
Yeah, of course. He's getting bullied by Josh Arroyo online.
Okay, but can I say something? I don't – the poker world – is so toxic and everybody's mean to each other. Just the fat shaming they do with Sean Deeb is so over the top mean, like, and nobody cares. Everybody piles on, and I feel actually bad for him.
What was the story? I mean, we're gonna have to talk to him about it, but somebody gave him money and protein bars in a protein bar box as a joke. Hey, just
Jake,
tossed
did
it.
That? Did you see that, Jake?
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was real.
He quote tweeted it as if it was real. The guy tweeted funny story. Someone owed Sean Deeb money, so he emptied a box of protein bars and put the money in it and said, "This is for after the gym." And Deeb didn't even open the box. He just tossed away the box. There was no more 180 really of a person from online, how he's a dick, to playing with him when he was on my left. He was just a normal person. I was like, you should just always be like this. You were just,
Deeb?
Yeah. But yeah, 200K and a ring. And so Jake, the tournament champions, just got tougher.
True.
Truth.
Smitty, did you know Jake booked a Spirit Airlines flight to go out to play the tournament of champions?
Hey, I'm not going to flight shame. You get there, you get there. What are you going to do?
I've never had a bad experience on Spirit until this flight.
I just don't get the point.
I didn't even know it was a nonstop flight to Newark to Vegas. I get an email a few days later. Oh, okay. No, we're going to take a little detour in Atlanta for 6 hours.
That's Spirit. That's what you get.
And so I went to go cancel it, and they're like, okay, well, this is only going to be a, like, you know, I guess that's probably pretty standard, but they only give you a credit. You can't get refunded for it.
Yeah, so you can ride more Spirit.
So now I had to go Spirit again. Not only that, you have to use it within the 90 days. And I'm thinking, like, I'm never going to use this. I'm just, if I book a new flight with a different airline, I'm never going to use this credit. And so now I'm going a day early so I could get on another Spirit flight.
Yeah, the only time I use Spirit is, like, they're the only, them or Frontier, the only, like, red eye back from Vegas to Philly. And it's a trip, man. It's a trip. That's for sure.
But there's probably some interesting people on those flights.
Yeah.
Like a Sunday night red eye.
Yep.
The old bust out of the main event and I have to get out of here.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. So I deserve to ride Spirit at that point. Like, you just want to take the knife and just jam it in your arm more.
Punish yourself more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, so how about this Berkey stuff, fellas? That's crazy. All right. Nick Airball.
Well,
am I right?
Okay. Nate, I mean, you're getting off topic here. I will say this. At least you did not lose on the most famous Ace 10 hand of the week.
Look, I am not ashamed, embarrassed, anything of the Ace 10 hand. The whole point of this podcast to me is me and Smitty and Mint, amateur donks, love playing poker, love talking about poker. Jake, professional poker player, tells us how stupid we are in so many words. He's very nice, though.
I wasn't going to go in on you on this.
I know, but hold on. That is the entire concept of this podcast to me. It's similar to foreplay, in my opinion, where Trent, his entire appeal is, can he break 100? That's every amateur golfer out there who plays with his buddies on the weekend. We drink, we try to break 100, we have a good time. You know, Frankie's hilarious in those videos, hyping him up. Perfect concept for a video series. And all his replies are like, how do you play golf so much and still stink? To me, that's the entire point, is watching a normal dude from Iowa get better at golf. That's how I feel about this podcast, is if you want me to play like a GTO perfect robot, you're insane. Because I have 7 other full-time jobs before poker. I'm just a normal guy who loves playing poker, who is lucky enough to have these opportunities to play the main event and play this hustler game on stream. So what? I punted off 10K to Alex Botez. It happens because I'm not a pro. Fucking trying to be one of these guys, gotcha poker guys on Twitter. Why? Like, I'm not. If it was Phil Hellmuth, who does stupid stuff all the time, bury his ass because he claims to be the best in the world. I don't. Jake, you were saying?
Yeah, I think you said it well.
And if you're just an anonymous guy on Twitter without your name or face or anything, and you're critiquing other people, that's where I draw the line, because I just think you're a coward at that point. I think you have to prove. You have to prove that you're good enough to play to critique. Like, if someone critiques Trent and he shoots 70, great. But if you don't post your scores and you're critiquing Trent, you're just a coward asshole.
Look, I think you're overlapping a lot of things here. You're overlapping, like, actual poker and what we're supposed to be as a podcast, which is all true, with just the internet. You're gonna get shit off
the internet. I'm shocked.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what, Smitty? Good point. I will say that is the toll we pay for living our lives on the internet. 100% agree. Mm-hmm. I make fun of people. I poke at people all the time. I'm not saying that. I do think it's different when you're giving pointers and pretending. I don't pretend to be an expert in anything besides smut blogging, so I can critique other smut bloggers. I cannot critique anything else. I think. Like, I can make fun of people, but I'm not out here saying what Tiger Woods should do. I'm not saying what Phil Ivey should do.
Yeah, but that's what the internet is. Mm-hmm. What you're describing that you don't want people to do is exactly what the internet does. That's all it does.
I know. I've been at this job for 10 years. I've been on both sides of it. Right. I do think at minimum, you should just have to say your name.
But I think, like, I don't know. I feel like I feel like you, while you, you know, got plenty of hate in the way that you're just describing, I feel like you also got some support, like a decent amount of support too.
Well, yeah, from people who want me to keep playing, so I keep donating.
Yeah, that's Alex Botez, one, you know, she was super supportive. You know, super supportive of you.
That's the thing, though, is only in poker can you have people try to scare away the bad players. Like, they should be encouraging me, be like, hey, you know what? Good play, man. Get back right up on that horse and keep going. Not the opposite. Like,
Well, that seems to,
Yeah, and I don't think you can.
Through all of poker, including pros versus pros.
And I don't think you can. And I don't think you can judge ability solely based on the game that you played. Like, number one, there's variance, which, I mean, is going to be in any like 3-4 hour game. And number two, like, you were playing with a bunch of novices for the most part, besides Boatheads and Hoodie.
I'm gonna stop you. I'm gonna stop you right there. Like, it's not because what you're saying is wrong. It's definitely right. And I told Nate, I told you this when we were talking, and you're right. Like, that it's a shit show. Like, if you had gotten scooped on with the tens versus ace king against Mickey, like, yeah, you would have lost the same amount of money as the ace 10 hand, but it would have been like completely standard. Like, there's, for those who maybe weren't watching, what, Mickey straddled a 500, you called. I mean, that, if we're critiquing hands, like, I would never limp there. I was raised, but doesn't matter. And Mickey shoved.
Before you go on, I was wildly unprepared for uncapped straddles. Like, it was a 10K max buy-in. I didn't even think that Mickey would be straddling every hand between $300 and $1,000. I did not know how to play that sort of game. Like, hand up.
Yeah, no, I didn't know how. I'm really, the point of this rant isn't to critique that hand at all. It's to critique the other hand. the ace 10 hand, like, truly is a truly awful hand, which, you know, and I'm not here to lay on it other than that. And so I think that there's,
oh wait, get back to your point though. Like, before that ace 10 punt happened, I get in tens versus ace king. If I just lose that 10K getting it in good, this conversation is different. We end up running it twice. I chop it. So it's like, it didn't happen. Then I was on the other side of it. I got an ace 10 of diamonds against Botez's ace jack on a 2-diamond board. We'd run it twice. I hit the diamond on the first one. I don't on the second one. She paired her jack. We split that.
Yeah. I think that there's plenty that did and could have happened that didn't necessarily, that where you can be like, yeah, it was a wild game. Like, you know, like, my result comes down to, you know, winning one of like maybe 3 or 4 hands. But it didn't, it came down to, you know, a poor decision in the moment that led you to losing, you know, your 10 part of your buy-in. And I think, like, that, as long as you're just like kind of like not ignoring that hand and being like, okay, here is where I fucked up. Yes, going all in was bad, but like, could I, you know, should I just have folded? Like, instead of it just being like a cut and dry fold or like all in, like, I'd like you to, you know, even if it's just on your own, just be a little, you know, be introspective about that spot and think about like, okay, like, yes, I obviously should not have gone all in, but like, are there other options? Are there other paths for me to like try to win that hand, other than either folding or going all in? And the answer to that could be no. And I personally think it is no. But instead of just being like, yeah, I played that hand bad, like, it just, that hand just showed a flaw in thought process that is extremely common in a lot of people that aren't pros, and even in some pros.
So my thought process wasn't that complicated. It was, Mickey was playing every hand. He had a 500 straddle on. Botez was the, you know, probably the most thinking player at the table. She knows that Mickey has any too. She makes it 1500. I thought I could fold out a better ace and take down the pot with the dead money in it. It wasn't you know, I didn't think it was that super complicated of a thought process to have there.
Right. But they're actually like, I mean, even just taking it, even just taking that thought process like one small step further, it's like, okay, well, the pot, so let's, you know, we're assuming Mickey's too wide, and now we're making an assumption that Botez is taking advantage of that in some regard, whether that's, you know, raising a hand that's thin for value that she'll then fold, or raising a bluff, raising a draw, whatever. I still don't really know how big the size of the pot was, but like, let's assume that after the raise, the pot's, you know, something like a few thousand. You're now risking 10,000 to win that few thousand instead of having the option to cold call. Shouldn't do that ever. It's just an option. Mm-hmm. Putting in a third bet that's not all in. That is a pretty reasonable option as far like under those assumptions. It's reasonable for you to do that with really, really, really strong hands, top two pair, set, whatever it might be. And then some hands that really don't want to go all in, kind of like your hand, or like a hand that's a total bluff, like let's say you had like 7-8 suited with a backdoor flush draw or something that like blocks the middle set. What was it, ace-8-3?
Yeah.
Ace-8-5, whatever, doesn't matter. And so like that's the whole point of it, where you risked 10,000 to win a few thousand. Whereas it's the way that you should play that hand is to risk far less to win the same amount with both bluffs and value.
Yeah. I will say, besides, and I played one other bad hand against Botez. I just did a stupid river bet. Besides those two hands, people were like, you got dominated by the TikTokers. I don't think I lost a single hand to anyone besides Botez where I made the incorrect fold.
I was watching a little bit of it. You built up your stack to what, 13,000-14,000. Like you were in the mix. Nice bluff through with 7-deuce off. Like
the most annoying part was when Mickey was making it like 500 or 1,000. And so it, you know, we're playing 10 big blind deep poker at that point. I could not pick up even a reasonable hand to take the dead money down with. Like I couldn't even pick up anything remotely reasonable. And I was getting so frustrated at the table because I just know all this dead money is sitting there. I'm like, do I just start like shoving any two and just hoping for folds? But Mickey's calling Mickey's calling like king five off just because he doesn't care about money. And it was so frustrating.
I mean, also the guy to your left was a super wild card too.
Yeah. So they were at one point they were playing 1K, 2K, straddle, restraddle. And it's just, what the fuck do you do with when you're capped at 10K buy-in?
You hope to pick up a hand.
That's what I'm saying. And I picked up nothing. And I wish people were more supportive of me in that situation.
Yeah. Listen, I think we're all proud of you for popping on there. It's not a, like an easy thing to go under the lights. It doesn't matter who it's against. It was a big buy-in for you. Like I assume it was the biggest game you've played. And other than one hand, yeah, I think, you know, you played fine.
Yeah. The only question I would have for you would be, or not even question. The only thing I was like, oh shit. Besides the punt, of course, that was just like typical Nate was out of all the people there. It just seemed like you only picked your spots against, you picked your spots against Botez, who's probably, other than Hoodie, like the strongest player there. Like if you were doing that and there weren't maybe that many opportunities, but like
that was the thing. It wasn't intentional or anything.
Yeah. Let's make a quick observation. Like she was to your direct right. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's just how that goes.
Yeah, it wasn't intentional. Like
that's just how that's usually how that's going to go.
Was it a random seat draw or did you?
No, it was random. We drew for seats. Gotcha. Overall, though, I had a good time. Like I thought Bryce Hall was very, very. I've said this a few times. You can just tell why he has like 30 million followers or whatever he has.
You made him laugh a couple times,
dude. He turns out we're also from the same hometown, which I didn't know till after. That's so random. But he loves poker. Like, he just found it. And, you know, obviously he's very raw, but he's going to be doing poker content. I can't tell if it's for Barstool or not. I think Dave might have signed him and Josh up to do poker stuff for Barstool without telling us, but it might not be for Barstool. Hard to tell.
That makes sense. No, yeah, that would make perfect sense. Because, like, when we signed Nick Merckx to do video game stuff, like, nobody was told about it.
Yeah, no,
so it's the biggest video game guy in the world.
Right.
Like,
no, I wouldn't be mad notified at all. Like, they're megastars who are getting the exact audience that, you know, poker needs. So I'd be very happy if it was through Barstool. I would like to help them since they have been playing poker for a month.
Yes, exactly.
But Bryce really was into it. Very charming, very funny. I thought he was great. He also, you can just tell he's sharp. Like, you can't become a multimillionaire at 21 years old or whatever he is.
Oh, of course.
Without being so sharp and just get, like, you can just tell he just gets everything.
Yeah. No, very intelligent.
And then Nick Austin, who is another like creator who was there, he doesn't even want to do like TikTok or YouTube or anything anymore. He just wants to be a professional poker player. He's won a tournament at the bike. He just loves poker. He's studying poker. He doesn't want to, you know, be a Sway House or Hype House. He just wants to be a poker player. So,
well, that's the dream.
Guy, two to your left.
Other side of the table, Padres hat, needed a root canal the whole time. So he didn't say much. God, he was in a ton of pain.
I mean, his punt was just as bad as theirs.
His punt was, he said that's an issue that he has, is he punts a lot. He was straight puntage. Yeah, he punted pretty bad. But he was great. I would watch. He's going to be someone like not to watch out for in the content creation space, as much as he just wants to play poker, and he already has good results, and he's like 23 years old. Then their hoodie obviously was the biggest winner of the game, on episode 7 or 8 of this podcast, Hoodie Allen. And he made like 35K. He was on the receiving end of a couple Mickey punts, which must have felt nice, and a Nick Austin punt. And then there's Mickey, who I don't know what his reputation is with people who watch poker and stuff. He was a delight. I have nothing bad to say about Mickey. I enjoyed playing with him.
He seemed like a gambler.
He's played $1 million pots, and then he was playing with us idiots. So I don't know if he's broke or poor or just likes to gamble, what his deal is. I meant broke or rich. Botez, obviously, chess prodigy, now is playing poker. She's going to be a force for forever in poker. And then to my
left, I think if there was like a wager on somebody to win like multiple bracelets that's not established and it's just like on that level, I would choose her. I would put money on her. Like, seriously.
Yeah. Well, she's getting coaching and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but just that, I mean, if you're already a chess like grandmaster, wizard, wherever the fuck she is, and you're just making that transition, like,
yeah.
The only like, thing
she's gonna be dominant.
The only thing stopping her from doing very, very well in poker is the kind of the influencer content life, that where it's just she's not gonna make more money playing poker than she is doing a lot of this content stuff.
I don't know. I think it very much overlaps, that she can do it all if she wanted to.
Yeah
I mean, yeah, well, Jake,
for sure. No, I'm not saying it as a negative thing. It's more of like a positive thing of how successful she is, like,
yeah,
doing the current content stuff that she's doing.
The content people, they all have teams. Like, it's not like she's spending all her time editing in the lab and stuff. She, you know, but
sorry, my son's playing the piano in the background.
I can't hear it. It's good.
Okay. It's good, buddy. Good job.
Yeah. I know your piano.
Oh, we got a keyboard on the ground. And he goes nuts. Hey, that was so good. Thank you.
What else about the game? I don't know. Like, I wish that we studied a little more how to play with huge straddles on. I don't know. Yeah. I would play again. It sucked that I lost. It sucked that I got, you know, made fun of for it, but that's part of the game. And I said this, it's like kind of part of like following this podcast and following me, like, the journey is more important than the results, in my opinion, because, you know, hopefully one day I it's kind of like Rampage. Every time Rampage played on stream, his first like 10 times, 15 times, he literally got the name Rampunts because all he did was punt off his money. And all people did was make fun of him and say that you're not going to have a career playing poker. And look at him now. He's, you know, winning $1 million and playing high stakes poker and blah, 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 blah. So, and all his critics are silent now. So, you know, I think the journey is more important.
I'll say one more thing about the stream, which was, I'll say one more thing about the stream, which was entertaining. The announcer did a good job. It wasn't Joey Ingram. I forget his name.
Yes. David Tuckman. He hates me, apparently. God damn.
Yeah, he was throwing a couple shots at the dog. I didn't appreciate Jesus that.
Christ, really? I don't know what. Dude, he was so negative towards me the entire time.
Yeah. Did you go back and listen, or could you hear him? Like, while
I went back and listened. I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah. Apparently, like, you're not welcome to play in that game unless, like, you're in the vicinity of LA. Like, the amount of times he said, no, Nate flew out for this. I can't believe he's going to lose. Like, dude, keep your pants down.
I don't know what his beef with me is. I wasn't even going to bring it up because maybe he's like one of those anti-Barstool people. I don't know, but
he's always like super friendly to me on social media, but I hadn't met him in real life.
I didn't even meet him. Like when I watched it back, I was like, am I crazy? Or is this guy just have like an anti, even when they showed the chip leaders at the beginning, he would be like, Hoodie is up 5K, Botez is up 4K. He would skip my name when I was up money and just go to the next person. Like, he wouldn't say that I was up money. It was so weird.
There might be some Norman Chad in his ear.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
That's a possibility. He did his homework.
Dude, I've always been a Tuck guy too. I think he's great at announcing. And I'm kind of glad you brought that up, I guess. When I watched it, I was like,
no, because it was noticeable.
Yeah,
why don't you chirp him and see what his response is, like why he was coming down on you so hard. I didn't even notice it.
It was weird. I wasn't gonna say anything, but yeah, it's just, oh well. I was reading my, like, if we had any beef on Twitter ever, like I was reading like replies back and forth.
No, nothing. But the Norman Chad might make sense. Like, if he,
because Tuck has done World Series commentary.
Yeah. So
I don't know if they've ever done together, but like, I'm pretty sure that's a part of the same team. So it's possible. Who knows?
So does he know that, you know, Jeff Platt?
I love Brett Hanks. Platt.
on a brighter note, we have not a one time, but two time. Can I say
Yeah, nobody listens to this podcast.
Pennsylvania Scoop champion.
Yep. Dos Equis.
General Spank.
I won more than Nate lost. Thursday, which was
a big win, dude. That was a big win, Smitty. Congrats.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good fun tournaments. So the first one was it's called TKO, Total Knockout, which it was I forget, it was $100-$200 buy-in, but your entire buy-in went to bounties. That's it. So it's a great tournament if you win. Very fun. But the second place, I think it was 12K for me, and then second was like 2K. So
winning it seemed pretty optimal.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was happy with that. And the second tournament was like start an hour later. Second tournament was 100. First one, the TKO, was 200. The 100-hour tournament was a very fun for Max. I threw a couple bullets in and just towards the end just started dominating. So yeah, it was a good night. I was seeing the board well. Guy obviously ran super hot, which, you know, has to happen. And hopefully we can parlay into something better.
Do you get any hardware for winning a Pennsylvania Coupe?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's like the only one. But
all hell, General Spank.
Yeah, all
so
hell.
Yeah, 12K and what, 3K?
Yeah. It was a good night.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Two wins in one night. That's round of applause again.
Yeah, one of the things I'm really concentrating on is when I get down to especially like the final 30, maybe even 20. Like I start in my mind, start to act like it's a sit and go. And like, I like winner take all, like I need to fucking buckle down and do this shit. So, I mean, that definitely helped last Thursday. And
yeah, I mean, it's we'll awesome. I think that's for you. Like, I feel like you trended more towards being really tight. And we've talked about this, but you know, your typical like tight passive down and, you know, towards the end game of a tournament. And
the TKO I had at the final table, I had 200 big blinds. The next highest at the final table had like 20. It was a shove fest. Like, it was nice. Like, I get an ace, like, yeah, I'm calling you, fuck it. And it would hit and just move on to the next.
Awesome.
It's magical.
What are you going to do with all that money?
Well, a little bit went back to Greek town over the weekend.
Okay.
I actually did okay playing poker live, playing 1-2. Greek town is a nice little poker room there. But I was on World Series of poker.com Michigan playing for some rings, and I was having location issues. I'm smack dab dick center in Detroit, and it's logging me out left and right saying I'm not in Michigan. Like, who do you think you are? So I'm like on the phone with customer service. They're like, hey, did you check your Wi-Fi? I'm like, no, I didn't check the fucking Wi-Fi of the goddamn hotel. Of course I checked the Wi-Fi. Like, what do you want me to do? So that was discouraging.
That's unfortunately, you basically can never get assistance with that. If that's like,
yeah,
at least not from the sites.
No, but what are you going to do?
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
I opened the Instagram up like we do every week. Any questions or comments or anything? A lot of people want you to roast me, Jake, for the ace 10 hand.
I don't really have like a, I mean, I feel like I was pretty straightforward and clear about how bad of a hand it was.
If I was here saying it was a good play, I just got unlucky, that would be one thing.
Right.
Like the time that I went in
the hardest on you was the 3-4 of spades hand for the main event, where
it was a good spot, man.
But I mean, where I'm coming from with both situations is like they were both so easily avoidable. Like you could have taken an L in both situations.
Bro, it's white magic. Another day. Sometimes white magic's wrong. What do you want to do?
I know. Well, did you see Polk's ace 10 hand where he lost what, 450K?
Yeah, just two similar poker players.
Yeah.
What else from the Instagram? Let's see. Are cash games on regulated sites tough to beat?
That's how good you are.
Yeah. Let's see if there's any other questions. Yeah, this guy sent a picture of a coffee place called Cool Beans.
Oh, wow. What? It has a Z?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
If you're not,
why would you show that to me?
So you get off your ass and you open your own.
It's too late.
It's actually very funny.
I can't believe there's one with a Z.
Last thing about this guy makes a good point in the DMs. It was one buy-in. It would be like going to play 1-2 and losing $200. Like, it was one buy-in. I think the amount of money, it was $10,000, freaks people out. So they are more likely to, you know, bury you. I wouldn't have played if that was going to be, you know, life-changing money. I'm now in the poorhouse. You have to look at it, in my opinion, of it was one buy-in. You know,
you brought 20K. You were prepared to lose 20K. Mm-hmm. So, and like,
hey, I made 1K on my second buy-in. That's a good way to look at it. So, yeah, but no, like, who hasn't lost $200 at 1-2? You know, like, it was a buy-in. It sucked, but I think it fucks people in the heads psychologically. Like, holy shit, Nate just punted off 10K. All right, well, the stakes were high, you know, higher than I was used to, higher than a lot. And also people were telling them on themselves as being poor. And, hey, you know what? If that's a lot of money to you, you're poor. Which, I mean,
that's not a nice thing to say in this bubble that I'm talking in.
Top pair medium kickers, good three bet jam on the flop, right?
No, that's funny.
Jake, what stakes would you play Nick Airball heads up?
I feel like this is a trap.
I mean, I hate talking about this poker drama stuff. Smitty versus Mincy in the next rough and rowdy for a main event seat.
I'd get destroyed. I mean, I hate to talk smack about myself, but Smitty played college football. I got no chance. That's not a fight that I can win.
Yeah, and I did. I mean, I'm not fighting you in rough and rowdy, Mincy, for 10K. If it was 100K, that'd be something. But I'm not fighting.
I'd take a beating. I might take a beating from you for 100.
I am not fighting rough and rowdy for what I fought for 5 years ago when Jersey Jerry and Jeff Nadeau get paid $1 zillion to flop around in that ring.
So. Dude, the Jersey Jerry got the biggest payday, I think, of anybody, like besides like Jose Canseco, like any internal Barstool fighter. And he had the worst fight of any.
And you got to give him credit because he got in there off.
That's Mincy Wi-Fi.
Three. Yep.
You just broke up. Say that again.
I'm saying he just got in off the Rico feud. You know, he wasn't even like feuding with the dude.
Yeah, I know. Good for him. I wish I struck while the iron was hot.
Yep.
I wonder if Dave would pay me for a fight.
Nah.
I don't think so either. I think I'm just a washed up ball. I'm like I'm like Holyfield getting in the ring now and fighting, you know, Manny Pacquiao. I'm washed.
Yeah. So mine was 10K to the winner. So
it's crazy.
Lathan and I, like, we agreed, I think it's 70-30, but like 10K to the winner. And then Dave offered 30K for the next fight, but my shoulder was messed up. And my shoulder didn't get messed up. I might have just been the company fighter. Just get my brains mashed in.
That's what we're telling Billy Football to do.
Yeah.
Dude, we're telling Billy Football to do that. Like, fight at every rough and rowdy and just be the Barstool fighter. Like, you like fighting. It's 1 minute rounds. You can do this, Billy, and you're not going to get concussed at rough and rowdy, probably.
Yeah.
Could.
Bad things can happen.
Smitty, this guy wants to know if you're going to play the 1K tonight.
Tonight? Is there?
Apparently.
I was not planning on playing tonight, Tuesday, March 28th. No. This week, Tuesday or Thursday, or Wednesday or Thursday, maybe.
So that's basically all the questions. Poker drama, I don't know, Jake. Berkey is playing Nick Airball, who is big on the Hustler streams.
How does he have so much money?
It's a good question.
I just feel people like the way he plays poker. I mean, I don't know.
My whole take on this thing, we don't have to talk about it that much, but felt like we should mention it. The private scene, you know, even though it's a stream, we all, you know, everybody watches it. It's still a private game. It's very much part of the private game scene. I've always thought it was a shit show, and it very clearly is even more of a shit show than I even realized. I mean, Berkey and Airball are, you know, I guess they came to terms. They're playing 200, 400 with a $400 ante. They're playing, what are they playing? They're playing about six and a half hour days, 3 days a week. Yep. I did some quick math yesterday. And they're playing 100 hours total. So I think they're going to play between 3,000 and 3,500 hands total. That's purely based off of, because when Doug played Bill Perkins on the Lodge stream, they had two dealers, which is actually really cool. Mm-hmm. And assuming they aren't doing that, I think that the lodge, they're getting dealt 70 hands an hour.
70, yeah. So
if they hit 30 to 35 an hour, it's going to be about that.
Yeah, so 100K buy-in, no max, 100K minimum, 100 hours, and they can quit at $1 million lost.
And then there's also like there's also like session
penalties,
loss penalties. You know, if somebody quits early, it's like a 10K. I don't know.
Penalty, seems, yeah.
Seems pretty small, but that.
Yeah. Matter. I mean, the whole thing is like Doug pounces on this stuff and does his YouTubes, and, you know, he's good at it. He's very, very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I find it all so tiring. It is brutal.
It is
millionaires, like it's like autistic millionaires dick swinging. Like it's so cringy.
Well,
this
maybe, but I found Hulk Negron youth entertaining. Like it depends on the matchup.
For poker, I like the quality of the poker. I think it was really cool. I mean, I Daniel got destroyed.
He got railroaded a lot, too.
But, like, I think
if we had
Daniel on and asked him, and I think he's probably said this multiple times, like, yeah, did he lose, like, a little over $1 million? Like, that's probably made him quite a bit just from how much better he got at poker.
Oh, can I say this? I couldn't sleep last night, and so I went on to Twitch just to see if anybody was streaming that I follow, just late night final table, whatever. And Poker
Kevin Martin, baby.
He has a good Twitch channel.
He does. He does a very, very good job. He knows what he's doing there.
Yeah. Poker Go just runs old stuff 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And they were replaying Negreanu versus Helmuth heads up, like high stakes duel. Hysterical. Like, Phil has no concept of like thinking through hands, and Negreanu is like, Phil gets happy that like an eight hits the turn, and Daniel's like, that it's better for me, not you. And and it doesn't, like, Phil is so genuinely believes in his own white magic voodoo stuff. And I think he ends up winning the heads up match against Daniel, but you can just tell Daniel.
I think he swept him, didn't he?
I don't think swept, but I can't remember. I didn't watch the whole thing, but it was just, Daniel was like, why am I even saying all this stuff? Like, you don't even understand it. And it feels like I don't need to understand it. It was awesome. Like, I was laughing so hard at 2:30 in the morning. I didn't watch it when it aired live. So highly recommend you go back and watch it. I love
it. What year was it played?
Last year.
Okay. Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, but I think with the, I don't know, there's the drama of, you know, this kind of BS, you know, between Berkey and Doug and Airball and Berkey and Airball and Garrett. Garrett's back. Jesus. It's kind of exhausting. As far as the heads up match goes, I think Airball's probably like pretty bad.
All right, well, I got a question for you guys outside of the biggest stakes possible, which is like your lives or like total bankroll. What format would you guys want to see, and who would you like to see in it? Like, what's the ultimate dream stream?
It's not heads up.
Unless
they could speed it up, like they did at the lodge, because I actually didn't mind that.
Can we pick players from? I want like 2004 Tom Dwan. I don't want anybody currently who has a understanding of the game. They play too boring.
I would love to see 2004 Tom Dwan, current Phil Hellmuth.
Yeah.
A couple other. Yeah. Gus, Antonius, and like, and like Armadillo Slim. So when fucking Tom Dwan, like, rivers a full house with this 3-6 offsuit against the Armadillo's aces, Armadillo takes him out and buries him in the desert.
Yeah, he takes out a pistol.
Yeah.
Someone that I really enjoy watching that is a current, just super high stakes blaster is Rui Cao from these Triton streams that are like 1K, 2K, 4K. He's just awesome. I really enjoy watching him. I'd love to see Adamo in a big lineup.
I wish they had like a switch. Like, you're not allowed to play GTO robot poker. If you're on a stream, you have to take it to the streets.
Yeah, I mean, that tends to be the case in a lot of these streams. It's they don't really put lineups together that are like that. Which, yeah. I mean, that's a whole other debate. Like, I mean, Nick Airball like dove into that in his interview with Doug. I think the betting line right now is somewhere like Lynn, what's her name?
Whatever,
looking for Lynn. Airball action. She books them at +160. She bet Nick. That seems a little, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a sharp bet or anything. That seems a little bit high just based on the, I don't know, they're really not playing that many hands. And Berkey, like, I think Berkey in a vacuum is, you know, quite a bit better in a heads up format. You know, Airball likes to play a lot of hands. People that like to play a lot of hands in full ring tend to, you know, they tend to navigate heads up a little bit better, but then there's just kind of more opportunity to spew to. But I don't know. I think based on Berkey's reaction to a lot of this, it might be, and I know it's not streamed, but he might be, there's a possibility that it's just too emotional and that he like has too much disdain for Doug and for this guy, Nick Airball. So I don't know. I'm not going to bet, but I would bet on, Berkey. I would bet on Berkey.
Okay.
But yeah. Pretty wild few days.
It's so I can't believe these are grown adults who act like this on Twitter.
I agree. Here's my thing
that I can.
I mean, I can
definitely believe it.
Okay, you know what? I take that back. As a veteran of acting like this on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I always think if I was this rich, I just wouldn't care. It's just like, I'll go do rich people things. Like, I wouldn't get into dick swinging matches on Twitter, but I also understand it. You can't get this good at poker and have that much money without having that way about yourself. It seems to be, besides Phil Galfond, it seems to be like consistent across all these high stakes crushers is having this certain, even Galfond though, he's tweeted that he used to shot take against Ivy just to, you know, show the size of his balls.
Well, there you go. You know who doesn't talk like that? Phil Ivy. That's why he's the best.
Yeah, but he is, you have to have gamble in you to get that good and that play that big.
Oh, gambling's one thing.
Yeah, but
arrogance and ignorance.
Yeah.
Those are totally different.
At Jake Tool, he just sits at home in prints.
CC Ben Mintz here. You know, say what you want about Doug Polk, but he's a genius. He literally 2 days after this drama happens, and he's, you know, like, you know, hot in the streets. He has Bill Perkins at 200-400 heads up, and then he gets Scott Ball 200-400 heads up just a few days later. Like, he's just both at the lodge. He doesn't have to travel.
Yeah. So he collects his own. Yeah.
So he is getting ridiculous heads up action and at his club, poker club that he owns while streaming on his
while own. Streaming it.
He
wasn't even involved in the drama. He just like inserted himself and then
he goes, you know, Airball's, you know, talking all this shit and Doug's like, okay, you know, like if this Airball and Berkey heads up match isn't going to happen, you know, Berkey, I'll come to fly to wherever you want. And, you know, fuck, like, and he inserts himself in and he's like, you know, sucks it out and be like, actually, like, this is an open challenge to anybody out there. Come to Austin and get these heads up action.
I mean,
I'm one of the best heads up no limit players in the world.
It almost seems like too perfect that Bill Perkins has to be in on it.
It's genius. I mean, it's.
I'm becoming a big fan of Polk's content. Like, I've always seen it like here and there, but I've been binging it recently. Even like the old stuff. Like,
he's good, man. His
play, but also the videos he goes over and explains and everything. I think he's very, very. Oh, he's obviously
that video that he made about the Berkey Jack forehand.
It's so mean.
Fucking ruthless.
Yeah. Like,
and I don't know Berkey other than playing with him a little bit. Seems like a nice guy. And I certainly don't agree with Doug. I wouldn't call him a scammer or a fraud. And that can bring us into another debate about all the poker content out there. If we don't necessarily have to do that today, but it's just.
Oh, like, is it immoral for a bad player to charge for coaching, that type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, that and not only that, but like, okay, well, who in the community is a bad actor in the teaching space?
What I've learned is that there's a thing called buyer beware. It's do your research, talk, ask people, look around, mm-hmm. and do what you're, yeah. you know, maybe you're paying too much for a bad coach, but if that's the coach you're most comfortable with, that's like the trade-off that you're willing to make.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't, you know, I certainly can't speak to solve for why their academy. I have absolutely no idea how it works. I don't know who the coaches are. I have absolutely no information on it and won't comment on it, on its quality. But that being said, I do think Berkey is probably like a pretty good teacher of poker at the very least.
Yeah, I agree.
That's just
if any coaches want to sponsor this podcast or offer us pre buy-ins, we will say you are the best coach around.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we do have Garrett back in the mix, returning some shots to Nick Airball. So maybe that's another heads up battle that can happen.
And he still says Robbie cheated, which I have no problem with him saying. They did. I mean, it's so Dan Snyder-esque. They did an internal investigation and said, they said we found nothing wrong, but we can probably tighten our security. And then Robbie doesn't play, high stakes anymore. It's all very fishy. There's a lot of question marks. I don't know. It's all very, 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 very weird to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about that other stuff, but like Garrett clearly still believes it.
I do too.
So, that's not, nobody's going to change his mind. And he's vocal about that. And, it is what it is.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude,
go buy it, go drink it, drink responsibly, and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb. Drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Mincy, anything you'd like to...
I got a couple non-poker things. I was just waiting until the poker was done.
Yeah, no. Plug your life.
All right, any of you rich poker players that listen to this that want to feel good about yourself, I got a rally-bound account raising money for families fighting pediatric brain cancer that's due this weekend for Hawks of the Cause. Even $5 donations from Stoolies help and go a long way. I believe I'm nearing like overall pledges. If I can run this 10K in under 60 minutes, we're almost at 30,000 already. I'm trying to get it up to 50, but I know the poker world it's one of those weird dynamics because 2 or 3% of the people have all the money. But Sean Deeb, we saw you just won a World Series circuit at Turning Stone. If you're listening, fire $1,000 toward, if you're gonna feel good about yourself, we'll take your money. But anyway, I got that. And then been training for the 10K. I actually got dry needling done for the first time on my hamstring earlier. So my hamstring's been tight when I've been running, but I'm still feeling like it's manageable. I ran like 3.2 miles in a little over 30 minutes yesterday, and I could have gone harder. So I still feel like we're about, I guess today's Tuesday, so we're 12 days out. I still feel like it can be done. I got a buddy pacing me, but it's going to be an all-out affair. And it's weird because I don't want to burn myself because I'm dealing with this hamstring thing. I can't train as much because I can't burn myself out before it. So it's a little bit of a weird dynamic there, but I still feel pretty good about it. Even having
to load management protocol.
Yeah. And I'm doing Barstool Classic at Lake Charles this week, and I'm going to the national championship stream Monday night in Lake Charles. So I got a bunch of stuff going on. It's
good. Here's Joel Embiid's load management schedule. Ben Mintz. Get it done.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I can't, like, what am I going to not go all out for the sick kids? I mean, of course I'm going
to. You're doing it for the kids, Ben Mintz.
Of course.
Of course. But
12 days, awful soon, though. So looking forward to that. So that's kind of what's going on here.
They just said Adnan from Serial is guilty again.
What?
Wow.
I swear to God. There's a bigger court said that the court below it, like, whatever, fucked it up.
That's a shame.
Interesting.
I think he did it.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's not a shame.
Whatever. What else? Oh, and then last question from Instagram. Am I still going to play the full World Series of Poker? Yes.
Nope, you're done playing poker for the rest of your life.
Yeah, no, I haven't quit poker because of losing one buy-in. I'm still playing all of June. I've already paid for the Airbnb. I'll be selling action on joshrea.com. And Jake, when I put up this package for selling action, are people going to call me a scammer?
No.
What's the markup?
No markup.
No scamming. If you're, as long as you're not charging, like, unnecessary markup, people won't.
I'm worried that people are going to be like, you're taking advantage of whatever stoolies or this or that, which
you're
is
charging
not my
no markup. They can go.
Dude, I brought, like, we've talked about this with fucking huge names. It's if they're charging, like, if Mike Mattisau is selling it at 1.75 to like a 10K 08, like, I think you're okay.
And I I mean, I cashed in 2 out of 5 WSOPs last year. Like, I, the unfortunate part of playing Hustler was I've spent so much, my mouth is so dry, so much time studying tournaments. And then I went and played cash. But I mean, I work on tournaments. I play tournaments. I feel good about playing WSOPs. They're very soft. I'm just worried that, you know, poker Twitter is so toxic.
I'm not worried about that, Nate. Like I said, my WSOP worry for you, and I said this last time when you announced you're doing the whole June thing, is like, what's it going to be like on June 19th for you if you're bricking? Like, I just know, like, because I've seen you, like, and I got to know you really well the last few years, and like, you have 3 or 4 bad days, you get real frustrated pretty quick.
I mean, I'm out
there. Be able to handle it from off.
I'm out there so long, I'll be able to take days off if I don't.
Okay. Like, no, I get it. I just, yeah. Load management with Embiid. There you go.
It'll be fine.
One set of Japan meal will get you right back to where you need to be.
That's correct. Just save those spicy tuna for me.
When we go there at the start of June, we're going to have to let Sen know that to make sure that there's enough spicy tuna for 10
Paul Head.
But you come early July.
Fact only.
All right. Well, I think that's about it, unless somebody has something to add.
What's the next play? World Series? Anybody want to go down to Hollywood in Florida?
I got the Cherokee thing on my mid-May calendar.
I would say there's a 10% chance I go to Florida. I was looking at the schedule.
It's better than none.
You're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, I got nothing. I'll probably do something, but I got nothing.
What is that, Jake?
Like end of April.
Yeah.
I think I have the schedule up.
I went through it. My cat, like, that May 11th or whatever is the Cherokee thing, but my calendar, I got a wedding. I mean, I just got it wiped out next few weeks. A bunch of Barstool stuff too.
April 28th.
We're sponsoring the PGA Zurich in New Orleans again this year too, which will be cool in a couple weeks.
Sweet. The April 28th is the main event.
Love it.
All right, my friends. God bless.
Good, fellas.
Good talk, boys.
Episode 1, 5 minutes. 184. Download, subscribe, etc.
The mints don't stop. Hawks for a cause. Everybody donate. Help the kids.
Bye.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.